Welcome again to this service this evening. Along with the brethren, my thanks for those who are visiting. We appreciate the members of this congregation who are faithfully attending the meeting. Hopefully you're telling others about the meeting and insisting they come to be with us too. We appreciate every effort that is made for the success of the work. Remember, as we continue in the meeting, that if there are people that we might visit and encourage to come to the meeting, let us know about that. If there's someone that we might meet with and study the scripture, we'd be happy to do that. We want to continue our study this evening concerning the subject of duty. I told some of the brethren now, if we're on the wrong track and we begin to wear this subject out, say something about it and we'll change. Up to now, people have enjoyed the studies, and I hope that we'll continue to do that. Our foundation text was found in James 1, verse 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Or beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now we talked Sunday morning about the subject of duty generally, and that it was a main topic of the Old Testament scriptures and of the New Testament scriptures. And then we talked last night more specifically about our duty to God. And if I may, this evening I'd like to talk to you about our duty to Christ. Now this is not in exclusion to our responsibility or our duties in any other area that we may talk about or have talked about. But it's surprising when you read throughout the Scripture the many pointed passages of Scripture that tell us about our duties to a particular person or a particular organization. And we talked about some of our duties in the home this morning, and later on we'll talk about some of our duties to the church. But tonight I want to talk to you about our responsibilities to Christ, and may I tell you that we are all responsible. Whether you are a saint or a sinner, you are responsible to Christ for many things. And you may have thought, well, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a part of the church, I have no part with Him, and so I'm not responsible to Him at all. But that's really not the truth. Because we are responsible. Remember, in John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now we pointed out last evening many of our responsibilities to God. And God gave His Son, and this is the way that He has spoken to you and me. Now it is important that we hear Christ. I want you to remember that. We have an obligation to do that because that's the way that God is speaking to us. At other times, He has spoken to people in many different ways. Early He spoke through heads of families, just like He said to Adam. You know, when He put him in the Garden of Eden, He told him that he could eat of every tree of the garden except one that stood in the midst of the garden. He forbade him to eat of it, saying, in the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. What's interesting to me about this is that when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, Eve was not there. Eve was not there. Right away God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so He made it helpmeet for him. Then He brought her to him. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then beginning in chapter 3, the serpent now was more subtle than any beast of the field which God had made. And he approached Eve, and he said, hath God said that you may eat of every tree of the garden? Now remember, when God told Adam this, he wasn't there. She said, God said. that we may eat of every tree of the garden except the one that stands in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She said we can eat it or we can touch it lest we die. How'd she know that? How did she know that? Evidently, Adam had told her. You see, that's the way that God approached people, through heads of families. And she knew exactly what God had said, and the point that I'm making is this. God may not speak to you directly. The heavens may not open up and a booming voice come from God. But the way that God speaks to you in this generation is going to be just as important as it was when God opened his mouth and spake to people directly, like Adam, and like Noah, and like Abraham. You see, what God said was just as binding upon Eve as it was upon Adam. Now, he doesn't speak through heads of families anymore. At one time, he spoke through a prophet called Moses. And we're very familiar with the law of Moses. That's the way that he addressed people. And people were responsible to what God said through the law of Moses. But now Paul said he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I want to tell you tonight, every person, every man and woman, boy or girl here this evening is responsible to hear Christ, because that's the way that God speaks to us. It's our duty. Well, I know we don't like the word duty. We don't like the word must. We don't like to owe anybody anything, but we owe God this allegiance tonight, that we hear him when he speaks through his Son. And this is the way that God talks to us. Jesus came to the earth. In John 12, verse 48, he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In verse number 49, he said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So you see, the words that were judges in the last day are the words that God gave to Jesus, and what Jesus said was what God wanted said, and we're required to hear him. It's our responsibility. And I'll just tell you tonight, God doesn't want to be ignored, and Jesus doesn't want to be ignored either. When you speak to one of your children, how do you like for them just to turn you off? You don't like that too good, do you? And you know, there are some children that have a very great ability to ignore you. Some of you know that. And you know how you feel about it, and you don't like it. Sometimes you want your children to understand. You want them to know exactly what you said, and it seems like it's all going over their head. They're not paying any attention to you. And so you get out a little closer, and you raise your voice, and you speak a little louder. And sometimes you get them by the shoulder, and you say, "Do you hear me?" We want them to be sure to hear, don't we? Listen. Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus was taken up and transfigured before Peter, James, and John. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." You know, Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make here three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elias, and one for thee." This wasn't what God had in mind at all. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He wanted us to hear. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. You remember reading the occasion when Jesus was baptized of John in Jordan? Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know, we're expected to hear. We're expected to listen up. John 6, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." It is written to the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Well, somebody said, Jesus isn't here. How's God going to speak to us through his Son? Remember, while he was in the earth, he gathered men out of the world that we call apostles. And he prayed in John 17, verse 8, to his Father, and he said, I've given unto them the works which thou gavest unto me. And then these men were ultimately sent out to preach the gospel to every creature, going to all the world, go therefore and teach all nations. Luke's account said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And these men, too, were guided by the Spirit of God. Said the Spirit will come, he will teach you, he will guide you, and he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now Jesus said, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest unto me. And he said, the Spirit's going to guide you, and he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I have said unto you. So when these men went out preaching and teaching, what they were saying was exactly what God wanted said through Jesus Christ. Well, somebody said, we don't have the apostles either. Does that mean that God doesn't speak to us? No, in Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me this mystery, whereof I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand what is my knowledge of this mystery of Christ. Not only were those things spoken, but they were written down. Luke said, these things write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of the things wherein thou hast been instructed. Did you know, brethren and friends tonight, that we can't get anything better than just having it written down? That's what we have right here. Not only was it given by word of mouth, but it also was written, it was recorded. And then Paul said, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Remember how that works? God gave his Son, John 3, verse number 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the things of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Jesus received the fullness of the Spirit of God. Remember, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then he gave these words to the apostles, and then they were given a measure of the Spirit to teach them and guide them and bring to their remembrance the things he had said. So what we have then is word given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly, or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. You know, that's why we call it the gospel of Christ. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Sometimes people say, well, if you limit the salvation to the gospel, you're limiting the power of God. No, no, no. You don't limit the power of God. It wasn't a matter of power, it was a matter of plan. The word mystery in Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4 is taken from a root word which means a plan. It isn't a matter of power. God has the power to save us any way he wants to. He can reach down and save us universally, just save everybody. He has the power to do that. God can save a number that is so fixed that it can't be changed that everybody else be lost. He has the power to do that, but he hasn't planned to do either one. He has planned to save those that will believe and obey him. And that's why Paul said, the gospel is the power of God in the salvation. That's the power that he's using and exercising to save men. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Isn't it wonderful that he has given us that opportunity? Isn't it wonderful that we have the responsibility to obey such a word? God demands it of us. In Acts 3, verse 22 and 23, the apostle said, for Moses truly said. Now he refers to a prophecy that was made in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. For Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. And him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto thee. What did that say? Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto thee. And it will come to pass that every soul that will not hearken unto the voice of this prophet, I will require it of him. I said, I'm going to raise up a prophet. I'm going to put words in his mouth. And he said, I'm going to require people to hear him. Who was that prophet? Who was that prophet? Here he is.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He raised up this prophet. He put words in his mouth. Jesus said, I have not spoken to myself. But the Father which sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And he will require us to hear him listen. In Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's going to require you to hear.
You know, I'm amused sometimes, and sometimes I'm a bit agitated at people that say, well, you know, I don't know why you think that you and your little bunch are the only ones that are going to be saved. And I never preach that. My fellow evangelists never preach that I hear. If I hear them preaching that, I'm going to talk to them about it and ask them where they get the book, chapter, and verse for that. But you know, we get a lot of help sometimes from the outside that we really don't need. Usually a person that makes this kind of statement is a person who is opposed to the church. I've just noticed that along the way. There are people that really oppose the church. Why would I preach that just me and my little bunch are the only ones that are going to be saved? First of all, I don't have a little bunch. And secondly, I don't have the power to appoint anybody to life or death, not one person. So why would I preach a doctrine like that? But I want to tell you something tonight. And I want you to listen, and then I want you to tell your friends, and I want them to tell their friends. God loved the world, and he gave his Son to die to provide forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9, verse 22, almost all things are by the law, purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. God permitted him to do that so that we could have forgiveness of sins. He raised up a prophet, he put words in his mouth, and he's required us to hear him. And I just want you to be on notice tonight that there is salvation in none other. Now you can call me narrow-minded, you can tell people I'm from the old school. Tell them whatever you want to. But I'm going to tell you tonight that you cannot be saved through any other than Jesus Christ. And you need to find out what it is that Christ has asked you to do to be saved. Because he's the only one that can do it. And you know, if he was willing to give his life on the cross and pour out his blood to make effective the remission of our sins, doesn't he have the right to tell us what we ought to do to enjoy the benefits of that saving blood? A lot of people have ignored the Lord. They're not listening. They're not hearing. And one of these days, they're going to have a terrible, terrible shaking up. It's like we'd say to one of our kids, do you hear me? Now you need to listen to that. We're responsible to do that. Not only are we responsible to hear, but we are responsible to believe him. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, if you believe not, then he shall die in your sins. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, somebody said, I think we have to believe in Jesus Christ. I do too. Because he said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. And I don't know how to coat that over. I don't know how to make it sound any easier for people.
It's just our duty. It's our responsibility. It's a must if we want to be saved. Now, if you don't care about being saved, it don't really matter. But if you want to be saved, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only that, but Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, there's going to be some changes made in your life when you turn to Jesus Christ. So I like to talk about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, who was a good man, a religious man, had been to Jerusalem to worship. A man under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, indicates to me that he was an honest, trustworthy, dependable person who could accept responsibility, and a religious man who had gone to worship. Pretty good man, isn't he? You know, there were some changes that need to be made in his life. I'm not telling you that he needed to change his moral standards. They may have been very high. I'm not telling you that he needed to repent of ungodliness and wickedness because I don't get the idea that he was living in the depths and the slums of sin. I don't get that idea at all from reading Acts 8. But when he learned of Jesus Christ, there was some changes that need to be made. Repentance is change. A turning away from. This man had to turn away from something to something else. From what did he turn away from? Judaism. To what? To Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of religious people today that need to make some changes in their life. I don't know what all he had done before in the way of religion, whatever the Jewish religion required, I'm sure. But here is an honest heart, and when he learned about Jesus Christ, it didn't bother him to make a change. He was not stubborn. He was not rebellious. He was not so family-oriented that he could not make up his own mind to serve Jesus Christ. He just simply received that truth into his heart and obeyed it, and the Bible said he went on his way rejoicing. No wonder. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But he that will deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven. We're always looking for a good deal. I think the Lord made us a fair proposition here. He said, you confess me and I'll confess you. You deny me and I'll deny you. That's fair enough, isn't it? Now I want to ask you tonight, are you in this audience who have never confessed Jesus before men as the Son of God? Well, somebody said, I've never said that he wasn't. Oh. He didn't say we'd have to go around saying that he was not the Son of God. He said, if you'll confess me, I'll confess you. You deny me and I'll deny you. Well, somebody said, I haven't denied him. I haven't said that he wasn't. Remember what Paul said? They profess that they know him, but in works they deny him. Every time you refuse to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you know what you do? In effect, you deny him. You deny it. You remember reading the parable of the pounds from Luke 19? A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom in return, and he called 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Every time you refuse to obey the Lord, you're saying, I don't want him to reign over me. And you know, in the end of that parable, as he passed judgment upon these people, he said, those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I just want you to know tonight, it's a serious thing not to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And if you've never done that, you're living in jeopardy tonight. Now, I'll tell you, there's one thing interesting to me about this subject is that everybody will do that. Oh, I know people say, well, I'll never do it. But you will. Maybe not under favorable circumstances and conditions like we have here this evening.
How many of you have heard me say before there'll be no infidels in hell? Not a one. Well, somebody said, Preacher, you think the unbelievers are going to be saved? No, Jesus said they'll be damned. Well, then why do you say that there'll be no infidels in hell? It isn't a matter of will they be saved or lost. It's a matter of will they be infidels or will they not? Do you think a man like the rich man could lift up his eyes in hell and say, there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, man has no soul? He wasn't an infidel, was he? When we lift up our eyes in hell, we won't be an infidel either. I'll tell you another reason that makes me say this. Is the Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ. Now don't say you won't do that. Because someday you will. But wouldn't it be great if people under very favorable circumstances and with a sincere desire to proclaim and to announce Jesus as their Savior, be able to stand before me, just like the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now you better hear him. Because you have certain responsibilities and duties that you need to perform. You need to believe that he is the Christ. You need to repent of sin. You need to confess him as the Son of God. And you need to be baptized. Matthew 16, verse 15 and 16. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. If you don't want to do that, find something else to say, because Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Don't say you don't believe it. I wonder why Jesus said this. Because that's what he wanted done. And did you know that every case of conversion recorded in the book of Acts records this? Some of the things we've mentioned here may be recorded by simply a necessary inference. But baptism is specifically mentioned in every one. I wonder why. Do you suppose that was an accident that happened that way? Or do you suppose the Lord could foresee that people were going to oppose the subject of baptism? In Hebrews 2 verses 1 and 3. Paul said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that every transgression and disobedience received just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Listen, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How do you suppose we'll escape if we neglect the salvation which was first spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard him? He said, now you ought to pay attention to the things that you heard and don't let them slip. Don't forget. First spoken by the Lord. John 8, verse 24. He said, if you believe not that I am he, shall die in your sin. Confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Paul said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First spoken of the Lord, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The apostle said in Acts 3, verse 19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. First spoken to the Lord, he said, you confess me and I'll confess you. You deny me and I'll deny you. Paul in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. First spoken by the Lord, confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. First spoken by the Lord.
But confirmed by those that heard him in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter had been preaching the very facts of the gospel. Men were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Listen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What does it take to convince us? These things are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing might have life through his name, John 20, verse 30 and 31. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation is found in the Lord. The apostle said in Acts 11, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Life is in Jesus Christ. Faith, repentance, and confession are steps that are taken toward or in the direction of righteousness, life, and salvation. But there is one culminating act that puts us into Jesus Christ. Paul said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I don't know of any other way you can get in there, do you? And you know, when Jesus died on the cross and poured out his blood, he did two things. One, he made effective the remission of sins, and two, he purchased the church. And in Acts 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those people that heard the message and obeyed it were added to the church. Do you know what is found in Christ? Paul said in 2 verse 10, and you're all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You can't find it anywhere else. It's not available. Remember Acts 4, verse 12. Do you know what's found in Christ's life? 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given unto us even eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I want to ask you tonight, do you want eternal life? I believe without exception, if I talk to you personally, every person here tonight would say they wanted eternal life. You know where it is? It's in Christ. No wonder we have beauty. No wonder we have responsibility. No wonder we owe something to the Lord. Look what he did for us. Do you want forgiveness of your sins? You know, the Bible said some men's sins go before to judgment, some men's sins follow after. Do you want to send yours on before, or do you want them coming after you? Oh, somebody said, I don't think I want them coming after. I don't think I do either. Where do we have forgiveness? Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, don't make accusing remarks about the Church of Christ if you're our friends here this evening and not a part of the body of Christ. Believe the gospel and obey it. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ, and you need to be there and you need to be saved. You want to be saved. You want to be forgiven. You want to have eternal life. You want heaven just as much as I do. And don't let anybody deceive you into believing that you can find it anywhere other than in Jesus Christ. Do you want to be friends again with God? You know, we're separated from God because of sins. There can be a reconciliation, remember last night? In Ephesians 2, verse number 16, he said, God hath reconciled both unto God in one body. Paul said, God hath reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Do you see how he did that? He had reconciled both unto God in one body.
You know, the Jews get into the body of Christ just like you and me. We get into the body of Christ just like the Jews. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus, as was stated in the opening remarks of our service tonight. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Somebody said, you mean, if you have Christ in your life, he's the door, and so by him you can just go in and out, and in and out, and in and out. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And I don't know of another way that you can get there than by Jesus Christ. I could tell you so many, many other things tonight for which we are responsible to Christ. Let these be sufficient for this study, and let this word be sufficient to the wise. And if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed these principles, would you come tonight believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confess him before men as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins? Two have done that this afternoon. And you know, the Bible said the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. The saved have been added to the church every day since it was set up. And there isn't any reason why others could not be added to that number tonight. We sing a song sometime, what do I owe unto the Lord? I'll tell you what we owe. And it's mentioned in two other songs that we sing. I love songs, don't you? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. That's what you owe. Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. Are you willing to pay the price tonight? And would you come while we stand to sing the invitation song?